Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The final third of this episode of the Paracast, and by the way, Mason Winfield rated me back for the After the Paracast podcast to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. We'll look forward to that. Mason, let us continue. You had something you wanted to bring up?
Well, we were just chatting about, Tim brought up something I concurred with heartily, that he wished that there would be a little bit more serious study of some of the ancient monuments, you know, the ancient sacred sites, the Native American ones, for instance, that he grew up near. Have you guys ever heard of a British continental project they used to call the Dragon Project? Have you guys ever heard of that?
I remember that one, yes.
Cool. I happen to have had a couple of friends who were involved in it. And we're talking like way back, you know, this is back in the 60s and maybe early 70s, early to mid, I think mid 60s to mid 70s. The Dragon Project was a group of scholars in paranormal fields, but even fields that were not closely related, like geology and architecture, and, you know, but they wanted to subject the ancient monuments like Stonehenge to a cross-disciplinary study that would be basically an objective study of subjective subjects. You know, a scientific study of non-scientific things. They wanted to study human reactions at the ancient sites, but they also wanted to just see, is there anything geological going on here? What kind of architecture? What kind of astronomy? It was really a wonderful thing they tried to do. And today, I believe, they're no longer called the Dragon Project. What's left of them may be called the Dragon Project Trust. But anyway, I've had a couple of buddies that were in on that. And they were doing some remarkable, groundbreaking stuff. And, I mean, they were doing, like, dream experiments at the ancient monuments, telepathy. They tested dowsing. And I'm going to try to recreate something a little bit like that. I'm putting plans together to form a not-for-profit society, which would be probably called the Spirit Way Project, but we'd be starting by a cross-disciplinary study of ancient Native American sites and monuments in upstate New York. But I should probably also segue to a project that got launched, I believe the years might have been 1971 and 2. But the story goes like this. There was a famous Welsh dowser. His name was Bill Lewis. And this guy was just legendary among dowsers. He was regarded as the greatest living dowser in the British Isles. He was such a veteran and experienced dowser that he could find water or the type of underground energy that indicates a break in the crust, break in the earth's crust, where you are getting this natural water. I don't think the dowsers really find the water. They find the break in the earth's crust. So anyway, Bill Lewis was so good that he didn't even use dowsing rods, didn't use a bobber, didn't use a pendulum. He just used his hand. He just hold his hand out and feel stuff. And apparently there were two young physicists from the University of London, I believe that's where they were from, who were joining the Skeptical Society, you know, the PsyCops, World Anti-Paranormal Group. And they, you know, like a knight for King Arthur, they get a quest. And their quest was to investigate earth energies. They heard of Bill Lewis, and they went to him and they said, all right, we want you to take us to a place in the ground that's got power. And Bill Lewis goes, oh, okay, well, there's this standing stone. I forget what they call it, but I think it's the standing stone at Crick Howell. It's about 10 feet tall. And Bill Lewis goes, this one will do, this one's good. And so the physicists go, okay, Bill, where do you feel the energy? And he moves his hand all over the stone, and he says, well, I believe I'm feeling an energy in the form of a spiral. The energy goes around the stone just like this and indicates a spiral. And they go, oh, yeah, well, we'll see about that. So they paint it. Wherever he says he feels the power, they paint this big white stripe going around the mound, and then they get their gadgets out. He's right. There really is some kind of a detectable electromagnetic energy that is greater in the spiral that Bill Lewis investigated. These two scientists resigned their membership in the Skeptical Society, or else they got kicked out. They spent the next year and a half repeatedly visiting the stone, and they noticed a number of odd things. One is, yes, it had a spiraling energy force, and this energy force would flip its polarity in a regular cycle every 28 days in the cycle of the moon. The spiral would suddenly reverse itself. And, you know, that's just an example of what I'm saying is, why don't we try to understand this stuff and just saying, instead of saying, well, it's not there.
Yeah, Colin Wilson, in one of his books, The Occult Phenomena, I can't remember which one, basically did the same kind of experiment at a standing stone. I think he was out there with his wife, and using dowsing rods or a pendulum, but he actually had physical effects when he touched the stone.
Yes.
He felt dizzy and disoriented.
Yes, I remember reading that. I don't remember the book myself. You know, Wilson was pretty good friends with a British antiquarian named Tom Lethbridge, T.C. Lethbridge. Mm-hmm. And Lethbridge was, he started out as a mainstream archaeologist. He was the keeper of antiquities, I believe, of Anglo-Saxon antiquities for maybe one of the great universities, maybe Oxford, I think. Don't hold me to that. But I know he started out mainstream. And as World War II started, he was off exploring. He may have been in Iceland. And all of a sudden, he developed this kind of a very out there theory of, he basically was using psychic abilities to find antiquities. And apparently, he got kicked out of his official position because they just couldn't handle, I think it was him, they just couldn't handle his approach. But he went on for the rest of his life to be this remarkable kind of a combination of a archaeologist and a spiritualist, a psychic. And I've always found that remarkable. I actually used Lethbridge. I mentioned him as a character in one of my recent books.
Yeah, he did a lot of research into dowsing with pendulums. Yeah. And came up with a lot of theories, especially dealing with the length of the string as attached to the
Tim, you're good. Way to go.
I just have an interest in dowsing.
Hey, you ain't no dummy. Way to go.
Hey, I should mention very briefly before we go on with dowsing that my late mother-in-law, Helen, had some strange abilities, according to my first wife, Geneva. So on some occasions, she would take her traditional dowsing rod and find sources of water underground and was quite successful at it, I'm told.
Wow. You know, the thinking goes that all of us have some degree of psychic ability, but it may be so faint in many of us that we never really discover it, or maybe we just don't discover our discipline. You know, speaking of a famous psychic performer, Uri Geller, the Israeli. Now, Uri Geller is a flamboyant character. I'm not sure he's still alive, right? I think
yes.
But he's regarded as being the real deal among a lot of serious paranormalists, that Uri Geller really had aptitudes. And he was this mercurial personality who loved to goof around. And yet, apparently, he believed that he may have had some kind of a UFO encounter that could have kicked off his abilities.
Hey, we're going to get into more of that in a moment. We have Mason, we have Gene, we have Tin. And I have a story about Uri Geller that I'll tell. I've mentioned it before, but I think Mason would like to hear it. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, Uri Geller has been very controversial. The late skeptic, the amazing Randy, was able to show the ability to bend spoons by conventional means. And there are questions about whether some of the things he did were genuine. There's a theory that Geller had some abilities, but not all the time, so he would, shall we say, push it or stretch things a little bit. Regardless, this one story goes back to 1976. So a girl I briefly dated, Sally, former actress, and she's telling me one day, watching Geller on one of the daytime TV shows. And she lives in a rather upscale home in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And she has in her hand a piece of utensils, maybe a fork or a knife. I think it was a spoon, as a matter of fact. Doesn't matter. It was something. And so he does his spoon bending routine on TV. And she sits there and she watches it and she looks at her hand, didn't feel anything, but the spoon she had in her hand, thick, expensive silverware, was bent. Now, I don't know what her parents might have thought of that, whether she tried to bend it back into shape, but that's the story she told me, and she was not the kind of person who'd make it up. So there you go.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, similar tales. It makes me wonder if maybe we don't all have an ability that our society could be trying to develop. And instead we pay people to, I mean, there are full-time jobs in denying this stuff. And I don't know why anyone would fund people to just debunk anything psychic or supernatural. I can calculate. I mean, it could very well be that there are people who sincerely believe that the world will be a better place and all of us will be happier if we completely disavow the supernaturalism of the old world, which includes religion and spirituality, and that maybe we'll all be better and the world will be better if everybody does that. So that's their motive. There might be another motive that they just don't like religion. They don't like the mainstream religion of whatever society they're in. I don't know. I try to avoid putting motives into other people. But I think that's a phenomenon in itself. Who's funding the debunking? Why don't we fund parapsychology?
Well, part of it may be in the part of skeptics is they believe there's a scientific explanation for anything. And if things can't be explained, it's either superstition, it's imaginary, it's fake.
Yeah, the default. But see, that's the same mistake the spiritualists make. The spiritualists have a default theory. If you can't explain it, it's spiritual. These guys have a default. If you can't explain it, it's therefore material. You just, you know, it's like they're both starting out with the same presumption. They're limited by what they think is, the spiritualists are limited by what they think is likely. The debunkers are limited by what they think is possible.
And of course, what's possible changes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make a close analogy to quantum physics here because I don't understand quantum physics well enough. But a lot of the things that are accepted in quantum, they sound magical, you know. It's like they don't sound like they've got any kind of explanation. Now, we must always remember, though, that the fact that one paranormal thing might be true does not mean that others are. I mean, there are many examples of that, you know, like cryptozoology. You realize it wasn't until about the middle of the 1800s that people in Europe believed in the gorilla. They just didn't believe the African gorilla exists. For them, it was a Bigfoot. I think it might have been, what, 1847, before a couple of British explorers, you know, may have shot one, regrettably, and all of a sudden. Like the coelacanth, you know, you guys have all heard about that apparently extinct fish that was hauled up in South Africa off the, you know, in the waters. This thing was a relic of the dinosaur age. They have fossils of it to go back, you know, hundreds of millions of years. But again, the fact that you've got some mysterious animals, it doesn't prove Loch Ness, you know, it doesn't prove Bigfoot. There isn't that correlation there. So we need to be careful about kind of swapping, you know, cross-referencing theories here.
I'm going to change the subject just ever so slightly because you had mentioned your ghost walks and ghost tours. Why don't you tell us about that? You know, I mean, does Buffalo have enough haunted locations that makes it viable?
Everywhere people live, there will be supernatural folklore. They will talk about spooky stuff. Yes, Western New York, it's as haunted as any. It's either quite haunted or else it only looks that way because you got an author around here who writes everything down. I think supernatural folklore and perceived experience is much more common than the average person thinks. And I think this because, you know, we've got these TV programs, reality TV, where they, oh, my God, we got a haunted site over here. Holy cow, let's go there. Yeah, there's 10 of them on the same block, my friend. You know, it's like for the idea of a building being haunted is not that remarkable. I wouldn't say that 1 out of 10 American buildings are currently haunted, but if you said 1 out of 100, would you be able to get some supernatural folklore there or perceived experience? I'd say sure. I mean, the condition of a haunting, it's not that rare. And furthermore, a lot of these buildings, they have a pattern of getting a lot of ghost stories for a number of years, and then they get none. It's like the spooks just move out. And then maybe years later they get some more. And so they'll go these long periods without any reports. And very often the reports will differ. So in other words, it's a really hard picture to put together. But I will tell you, yes, I have a ghost walks company. It's called Haunted History Ghost Walks. I've been leading ghost walks since 1997. Our company incorporated in 2003. And, you know, basically I ransack a small historic area, like a square mile or less, really. That's our rule, is no more than a mile of walking and a bunch of, you know, maybe 10 neighborhood ghost stories, and you walk people from one to one. But we're basically storytellers, folklorists. That's pretty much what we are. We don't try to prove anything we don't try to demonstrate anything, you know. We don't talk to the spirits. We don't take their pictures. We tell you stories about the experiences of people, stories that have gravitated to places. The long and the short of it is that my study is stories and places.
By the way, I want to ask you in our next segment, before we get back to the strange ghost stories to explore, how you got involved in writing fiction? And, you know, why the fiction appears to have similar range of topics, and it's an interesting sure. approach to it. We're going to go into that in our next segment with Mason Winfield, author of a number of books on history and folklore with a paranormal bent. And then we don't want to say Tim Swartz, our co-host, is bent. I remember an artist in the 50s or 60s called Bent Fabric, by the way.
Yeah, heard of
it. I'm Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
USA News Update. Expect the employment rate to increase if there's a recession, according to a top bank.
Everything we see will be a mild recession.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan told that to investors on Friday.
Our core prediction at Bank of America is for a mild recession in early 23 to mid-23.
Speaking on CNBC, Moynihan says Bank of America is preparing for a worst-case scenario that would see unemployment rise to 5.5% and likely stay there through 2024. I'm Jeremy Scott.
President Joe Biden will be the first sitting president to deliver a Sunday sermon at Martin Luther King Jr.'s church in Atlanta today. The FAA starting a probe into how a commercial airliner taxied in front of a flight that was taking off from New York's JFK International Airport Friday evening. And congratulations to Arbani Gabriel from the United States, who was crowned the 71st Miss Universe last night. Corey Myers, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Mason, Gene, and Tim, I mentioned the name of an artist. Real name, Bent Fabricius Bjerre, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. A Danish pianist named Bent Fabric. And he came out with a song back in 1961, one of the instrumentals that became famous called Alley Cat. Okay? Alley Cat also won a Grammy Award for Best Rock and Roll Recording. 1961. And none of you heard of him.
I heard of Bent Fabric. I just couldn't tell you much about their music.
Now, if you played his music for me right now, I'd probably go, oh, I know that. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm familiar with the artist.
You do ghost walks.
Yeah, walking tours of historic communities. We basically walk people around a neighborhood and tell them ghost stories that people have reported. But that's the simple way to put it. I mean, we research layers into our topic. I mean, we're talking about architecture and mythology and folklore and the Native Americans and occultism, geology. I mean, absolutely any possible discipline that appears to have any connection with a ghost story, we bring it up. And we're always looking for these little historic. We try to give people a balanced nutshell perspective of the regional history, too. I mean, if we're doing a tour of East Aurora or Lewiston or Allentown, you know, they're going to come away with a real nutshell understanding of how the community started, its original history, and it's really a lot of fun. It's a business, you know. I mean, I charge people for tickets, and I pay my taxes, and I hire tour guides, and I pay them, and I train them, and, you know, I make deals with people who want to do some kind of a supernatural event. But I would tell you, our company has a very good reputation in Western New York. I mean, people say the nicest things to me. It really, we are reaching people. It's really nice.
Have you ever encountered things amongst your journeys of exploration that are weird?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of drunks outside one of the pubs in East Aurora that always yell at me on Saturday night. But I would say I do not even imply to people that they're going to have a supernatural experience if they buy a ticket from me. However, I must answer you honestly, typically once a year or so, somebody, sometimes several people, sometimes a lot of people on one of our tours believe that they've had that experience. There had been times when the whole group saw something and I didn't. Because I'm in teacher zone and I'm facing them. And if it happens above me or behind me and I'm sitting there, standing there trying to focus on my story and plus my psychic abilities are low rollers anyway. I am the least psychic person I think almost anybody will meet. So, but yes, once in a while, somebody on one of our tours believes they witness something.
So now with the buildings and locations on your tour, can you give us some examples of your favorites? Or you know, the ones where your group will almost always go, wow.
Well, we call those in my outfit, we call those clincher stories or knockouts or something. You know, we just live for that light 'em up moment, you know, where everybody just goes, oh, wow. But they don't always do that about a ghost story. You know, they'll usually do that about some factoid of history. But, you know, I would say every one of our tours has a spectrum, you know, like we've got. Every one of our tours has what we call the Hollywood story. And, you know, the Hollywood story is there's a murder or a suicide or a love triangle and there's a death and people think the place is haunted. And, you know, that's not by any means the profile of every haunted site, but it is the profile of a few. And every one of our tours tends to have one of those. There are connections to religion. I mean, any church... Old church will tend to pick up ghost stories. Theaters. If you've got a tour that you're planning a route for a tour and you realize there's a theater on it, you know, you've already got one. You know, you've already, every theater has a ghost story. Either they're all haunted or acting is a very superstitious profession. But actually, actors do tend to love ghost stories in that respect. The theater tends to be, It's not politically the most conservative of our arts, but in some ways it might be the most conservative artistically of our arts. But any theater will get a bunch of ghost stories, and old pubs will tend to get ghost stories. So we're often looking for profiles of landscape. Like, is there some kind of geometry to this? Or, for instance, any pathway between a church and a graveyard in old Europe would tend to get a lot of ghost stories. Just an outdoor spot, the trail. And they call that a corpse path, or they call it that in England anyway. And whenever we're in an American village and there's a road connecting a church and a graveyard, or maybe two cemeteries or something, you've always got some ghost stories on the street. The whole street will have a tendency to get ghost stories. Old Native American footpaths, the important ones in upstate New York, tend to pick up tons of ghost stories. I would say the most important. Now, we do get stories about haunted roads, and the haunted roads I know of tend to be short. They're either dead ends or they're streets that are cut off. Like, you know, it just has a T cross at each end. And a lot of the famous haunted roads in Western New York are short, mile long. And I think your good feng shui expert would probably say that it's natural flow, it's qi, gets cut off. And therefore, maybe the yin energies get a little stale. I think that might be what they'd say. And you tend to pick up a lot of ghost stories, as well as stories of curses and psychic you know, emotional trouble in people of any kind on these certain roads. So, and finally, the daddy of all haunted trails in New York State is this east-west route. Goes from Buffalo to Albany. It's Route 5. It's an ancient native footpath. It may be so old that it was made before the humans got here. It could, because this would have been right at the foot of the glaciers. The glaciers never really came down any farther than that in the Great Lakes area. So any human or animal that wanted to migrate east or west would have taken the same trail. And they've developed it, you know, into a dirt road, and, you know, during the settler era, and now it's well paved, and some of it is, you're driving on it almost highway speed. But the Native Americans, I think the first settlers called it the Old Mohawk Trail. I think the Jesuits called it the Iron Trail because there was so much military hardware clanking along it. But at any rate, whenever I investigate a community in the upstate, and Route 5 goes through it, if I get the village map out and put a pin in everywhere I get a ghost story, you see this definite pattern running alongside the road, Route 5. And there's ancient battlefields along it, and sacred sites like springs and fountains and temples. And you really, patterns is what I look for, and that's one of the ones I tend to be observing at the exact moment.
Does Route 5 have mountainous regions, or is it all flat?
Oh, it's not all flat, but it's, I can't think of any mountains it cuts through. It's change in elevation, it's rolling, you know, it's drumlins, it's change of elevation. Wouldn't be that much, and it wouldn't be that steep.
Okay, I say that because I do not like to drive on mountainous roads. So if I ever visit Buffalo or around your area, maybe we'll take a look at it. We'll have something else to take a look at here. And then, Mason, we'll be back with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have Mason joining us. We've been talking about the various locales that he uses for his ghost excursions. He'll be back with After the Paracast, part of our Paracast Plus subscription service also. So this is the last segment he does of the main show before he does the premium show, where there are no restrictions except for the stuff by which they can sue us. So how far afield do your tours go from the Buffalo area?
It depends on the year. We used to do ghost walks in Niagara-on-the-Lake in Canada, used to do them in Saratoga Springs, still do them in Canandaigua, which is near Rochester. Used to do them in Auburn. No, I'm sorry, not Auburn. We did them in Lyons, New York. You know, it'll be sort of like my company will make a partnership with a local, because the ghost walks are really hard to run long range. It's just it's a very local business. And but right now we're focused mostly on Erie and Niagara County. We're in Western New York, the Niagara frontier. And you know, if I had wanted to be the Starbucks of ghost walks, I think I could have been. But I wouldn't have been doing anything else with my life. That would have been, running that company would have been my full-time gig. And I never wanted my life to be that. I love the tours, but I love meeting the public. I love telling them stories. But I've decided that I really want this to be a very local and a very seasonal business. I mean, our prime time is about 6 weeks, mid-September through Halloween. And that's the way I like it, because I write books and live my life the rest of the year. You know, what I want written on my urn, I'm not going to be buried, I will be cremated, but what I want written on my urn is not going to be, man, did this guy give a great ghost walk.
What would you like it to say?
Oh, well, geez, I'd want to be thought of as a compassionate and fair individual, but writing books is what I would like to be my distinction in life. I don't think of myself as a great writer, but I think I'm a good one, and I really am a supernatural guy. I just find that to be my niche, and I really like that as a subject. So I think that's what I'm going to write mostly.
Why fiction?
It's come on me that that's a statement. I just felt called to start writing some fictional books. I mean, I've written a book about a wizard, not Harry Potter, the guy's always. The book is called The Prince of the Air. It is the memoirs of a contemporary wizard.
was written and published in 2021. Very happy with the book. And it's, you know, basically this guy narrates his memoirs, and he claims to be a wizard, and he doesn't use wands, and he mocks out Harry Potter a lot, but yet he has some adventures. And the book I most recently published, I've had it in my possession for about a month, is called A Ghost Hunter's Journal. And this is about a couple of psychic detectives in the upstate. It's a country English teacher and a Native American, a young Native American elder. And the two guys are buddies, and they get called in on all these cases. And the cases, many of them are inspired by actual things I've encountered. Because, you know, I claim no psychic abilities for myself whatsoever. I tell everybody I'm not an exorcist, I'm not a ghost hunter, I'm not a wizard, and yet people still call me up looking for help. And I always get some information about the story, and if they think they're serious, I always do a bit of sleuthing, try to figure out what kind of situation they're in. And some of these cases, they're too hot. I can't write about them as research. Or they're confidential. They just don't want anything else. So you got to fictionalize everything, change the names, move it around, change all the details, and then you can sort of write about it. And some of the time I'll get called in on a case that may or may not be confidential, but I don't know how it started or I don't know how it ended. You know, a lot of these cases, you get consulting with a family or a group of people, and all of a sudden they just shut right off. They just cut you right out. They don't want to see you again. And I promise you it's not because I'm some predatory, obnoxious being. It's actually, I think, because very often when people call me up for help with a case, they know I don't claim to be a wizard. I'm not a magician. I don't have a magic wand. They've been to people who've claimed that. They've been all over the place trying to get help, and it hasn't worked. So now they come to me. And when I realized that, you know, that this case has already gotten a lot of hands in it who may have created problems, I realize I can't really help you guys. This is my scholarly opinion of the type of situation you're in. And based on the research I've encountered, this is how you can either put an end to it or just cool off and wait for it to end. Because a lot of this stuff has a predictable cycle. If people are undergoing a poltergeist outbreak, there's only so long it's likely to last. And if they can just chill out and not add to it and not augment anything, it'll probably probably cool off. But I had something come up this summer that I found interesting. A young woman, we have a mutual friend. I didn't know this young woman from anywhere, but we have a mutual friend. He contacted me and said he knew a young woman who believed her apartment was haunted. But then the young woman just, I made an appointment for myself and my Algonquin friend to come visit, and she never followed up. And I found out months later, I predicted this could happen, but months later I ran into a new friend who's a ghost hunter, and he was telling me about this one case he got in on. And I knew exactly what happened. Somebody else came in and started taking over the case and said to the young lady, don't bring anybody else in, and that was fine. I hope everything worked out.
An interloper.
Hey, I don't own these cases. I don't own these people. They have to make their own decisions. It's probably better to just have one person you listen to, and hopefully they're the right ones.
Maybe you're looking for a certain kind of message, and for whatever reason you didn't provide it, somebody else did. Who knows? Hey, can you tell our listeners, if they want to know more about your work, where do they go?
My website, masonwinfield.com.
Everybody has to have a .com. I did something once, have a radio show I don't do anymore called the Tech Night Owl Live. And when they added all these extra domain extensions, I created a domain, thetechnightowl.live. So it rhymes. I assume your books are available from the usual offenders.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, we're out there. We're eager capitalists. We're trying to sell. I'd like readers. You can have the money, but give me the readers.
And certainly we look forward maybe to trying out one of your ghost tours. That would be really interesting, wouldn't it? By the way, Mason will be back for After the Paracast for subscribers of the Paracast Plus only at theparacast.plus. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast, as long as Twitter lasts, and who knows the way things are going over there. We're on Facebook with a couple of segments for the Paracast. We also offer an online shop called theparacast.shop, and over there you can get branded merchandise of different categories, theparacast.shop. And we also offer the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. Look at all those extra new extensions I have for websites now, not just .com and .net. With the Paracast Plus, you get this show free of the network ads with better quality audio. So our guests sound better, I sound the same, I can't do any better. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast, no interruptions, uncensored. So we can say anything we want, as do the guests, as long as we're not sued for it. The Paracast.plus, by the way, with the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, we give you 20% off the price of 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. The Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. Lots of fun talking to what I hope is a new friend of the show, Mason Winfield. Thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful program. You guys are serious thinkers and serious researchers, and I think we really covered some ground tonight. So thank you both for the privilege.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.